We're enjoying a close-up look at two of Europe's most romantic cities today on Travel with Rick Steves. Guides from Madrid and from Prague join us to share some of the fun and the romance of their cities. And a little later in the hour, we'll check in with listeners at 877-333-RICK to hear about the kindness you've experienced in your travels and the people you've met who you'll never forget. Madrid's become one of the hottest cities in Europe lately, and we're not just talking about the weather in July. Two Spanish tour guides who recently took us on a walk through their city are back to show us the romantic side of Madrid and to get us better acquainted with the Spanish capital up close. Our guides are Javier Menor and Federico García Barroso. Javier and Federico, thanks for joining us.
Gracias, Rick.
Thank you. Gracias.
When you bring an American through Madrid, as you do day in and day out, what do you find surprises your American guests the most?
It's a friendly city. They feel comfortable. And often it's a place they feel they could live in.
They're really surprised when they see tons of people walking on the streets at any time of the day, any time of the night, you know. They just seriously think about if we do ever work, you know, because people are there.
It feels like everybody's on vacation when I'm in Madrid, and it's just a thriving city. There's a new pedestrian lane that's been built almost connecting the Royal Palace with the Prado Museum, isn't there?
Terrific, because people go everywhere in a short walking distance, you know, nice and clean streets, and people really enjoy that.
No? And it's an incredibly modern city. It's a thriving city of 3 or 4 million people, depending on how you count it, and you've got beautiful traditions going on. If you stumble into this one little, the Church of Corpus Christi, you can find the Cloistered Sisters.
Oh, yes, and actually you can see them, because in that 1700s church, when you walk in, you've got on one side the small church and the main altar, but on the opposite side, like 10 feet above the ground level, you've got a huge grilled window. Behind the window, that is cloistered, and you can see the nuns attending service.
You're sort of like a peeping, worshipping Tom.
Basically.
So you can go to that church, and the cloistered sisters are sitting there behind the grill, enjoying the same mass that you might be.
Who never leave the premises will live there.
And if you're interested in a snack, and you have a sweet tooth, and you want to sort of help contribute to the work of the sisters,
of
what can you do?
You just go there, you just knock on the door, and then, well...
You follow the sign that says sweets for sale or something.
Venta de dulces.
So you go in and you find this, like this Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan, exactly.
And it's got walls on it. So you'll hear somebody's voice, but you won't see anybody.
You don't see anybody.
Always a very old, cracked voice.
It's an old, craggy voice. That's right. And they know you want cookies, so you just say, cookies, and all of a sudden the Lazy Susan, which must be 100 years old.
That is actually from if I'm not wrong, I can see on the wooden window, 1761.
So it is 250 years old. Yeah.
And it is something that we have done for ages, to buy cookies from the nuns. And may I say, when I was only 2 weeks old, I was in the Lazy Susan, because my family was in good terms with a cloistered nuns convent. And they took me into the convent.
So they gave you a little 360-degree spin through the convent?
No, actually, I was in the cloister section for a few minutes with the nuns.
Oh, that's nice.
You saw
I was only 2 weeks old.
You saw the cloistered nuns when you were 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
What kind of cookies are these that you get?
Well, they have everything. Tea cookies, they have yak cookies.
Coconut
also.
Almond cookies,
those are the best, I think. Galletas.
Shortbread.
Orange flavor also.
They run out of stock sometimes, so you can only buy what they have.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Madrid with Javier Menor and Federico García Barroso. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Alfonso's on the phone in Allen, Texas. Alfonso, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, Rick. Nice to be on the call with you. I actually grew up in Madrid when I was a kid, and then I went back to study abroad when I was in college. And obviously, I'm very attached to the city. One of the things that I wanted to get your guest opinion on and maybe also recommendation for fellow travelers would be to check out a Real Madrid game when they're in Madrid. I think from a personal experience, I'm a big soccer fan, so that's a great thing, but I think it's also that shows you a great character of the Spanish society when you really get to see the Spanish psyche in it, and I think it's great also the pregame and the postgame atmosphere. It's very different from a professional sporting event in the U.S.
So, Alfonso, you're talking about going to the big soccer stadium in Madrid and seeing the very popular local team, Real Madrid, play.
Exactly.
Javier, what's your recommendations on that?
I just wanted to thank you, Alfonso, because lately everybody talks about the Barcelona soccer team. But thanks for supporting Real Madrid.
We don't like to talk about that. Exactly.
So now, how realistic is it, Javier, for an American tourist who doesn't speak Spanish, doesn't have a lot of money to go see a soccer game?
Unless it's an important game,
right?
One of those really highlights, it's accessible. You can get a ticket for maybe over 50 euros.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an 80,000 people stadium.
80,000 people, and you pay 50 euros. That's like $70
depends on the game.
Per ticket.
You can maybe get a ticket for that. And it's so exciting. Very friendly.
And you're surrounded by 80,000 Madrilenos. There's probably not many tourists there.
Always find a few, but not many.
Right.
And it's friendly. Kids go there, won't be in any trouble. And it's real exciting.
Alfonso, you were talking about enjoying the pre- and the post-game action. What do you mean by that?
Pre-game, actually, people sort of convene outside of the stadium. And there's a lot of bars. There's actually a really nice tapas bar on one of the corners called La Lateral, which I really enjoy going to. And just sort of you talk to people, you really see sort of people just have more of what they call tertulias, right? They talk about the game, they talk about the players. So I think it's a great experience.
So you have the tailgate kind of action, but without the tailgates.
Exactly. Very different from an American sports tailgating.
All right. And after the game, what's it like?
Well, if Madrid wins, it's usually pretty good. If Madrid loses, it's probably more of a somber atmosphere. But
I think you can actually tour the stadium when there's not a game going on.
Oh, yes, of course. Hey, amigo, did you see the museum, Real Madrid Museum?
Exactly. There's a museum, there's a restaurant, although the restaurant's in nice, but it's a little bit overpriced.
And there you see in the museum, by the way, that Real Madrid has been classified as the best soccer team ever in the history of the 20th century. They show you that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, what is the season, Federico, for the soccer games?
Well, it's actually
late August.
Late August, exactly.
Early June.
Late August until early June? It's
depends on the year, but approximately.
Almost the whole year, then, except for the hottest part, July and August.
And in the summer, we have summer tournaments.
Okay, so you can see soccer any time of year.
We live on soccer. You live on baseball. We live on soccer.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you feel a big energy in the stadium with 80,000 people. I don't think Americans understand the passion for what Europeans call football.
Yeah.
until you go to the stadium, and you're going to learn a lot about more than soccer.
And European stadiums often within the cities, they're very vertical and are spread out, and they don't have a parking lot. So it's a different experience.
Alfonso, thanks for the insight and the recommendation.
No problem. Thank you, Rick. Great show.
Thanks. You, and happy travels. Suzanne's on the line from Riverside, California. Suzanne, thanks for your call.
Hello. I went on my very first European trip ever, and the first place we landed was Madrid. And I'm telling you, I just fell in love with that city. The people, more than anything else, the people and the architecture were just so incredibly amazing. I was on a structured tour, but the time that we had outside of the tour to just kind of wander through the city was so incredible. You can just stop anybody anywhere and have a full-on conversation, and you never know what you're going to get.
That's so cool. Your first day in Europe was in Madrid, and you just had a beautiful time with the people. You know, one thing I like to do when I'm in Madrid is to take the electrico bus right through the old center. It goes around. It's one of these, they call them slipper buses for the older ladies that hardly get out of their slippers and robes but need to get down to the grocery store and can't really walk a long way. Mm-hmm. Is that still going, this little electrico bus?
It's still going. And it is actually quite popular.
And
quite
you can popular. Sit in that and just enjoy the ride and talk to people as they come and go for the whole trip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Suzanne, what would you recommend for people when they're in Madrid to be sure to do?
Well, to get off the beaten path.
Right.
We would start our day almost every day in Puerta del Sol and just kind of wander. One day we would go one direction, go shopping, but the best times we had were after 10 o'clock at night, just kind of strolling through the city with everybody else.
So wait a minute, you're a woman, it's your first day in Europe, you're in a big city, nobody knows you, and you're out at midnight walking around?
Oh, yeah.
You will never feel alone because 10 p.m., streets are crowded.
That's true.
Oh, lots of people.
If you were in L.A., this would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The city is just full of people. It seemed that when the sun was going down, which was about 9, 10 o'clock at night, we somehow were out in front of the palace every night. And there were people on roller skates and rollerblades and walking their dogs. And in this concrete city, there were so many people out with walking their dogs every night.
In front of the royal palace.
And I got to say, sunset by the palace
is great. And that used to be such a horrible traffic congestion place there. And now it is landscaped. Mm-hmm. It's got outdoor cafes. Mm-hmm. It's got the palace right there.
Mm-hmm.
You just think, Every American should come here and see how to organize and design.
The day I grow up, I want to buy a penthouse in that square.
What's the name of that square?
Plaza de Oriente.
So place of the Orient.
One day when I become a grown up, I want to live there.
Oh, invite me over.
That city just made such an impact on me. I'm going to live in Madrid someday. I don't know when, I don't know how. I may be 80 years old when I do it, but I'm going to live in Madrid someday.
I just love your words because you really captured the sense of Madrilenians. I mean, I really like what you say because that's what I think, but I am Madrilenian. That's my city. What can I say? But when I see that a foreigner comes for the first time and you immediately understand all that, I mean, it's just terrific because
and
that is the way to enjoy Madrid.
Susana,
absolutely.
Next time you come, call us. We'll take you for a beer. And this is a promise.
I found a little bar between Plaza Mayor and the Opera Metro stop that had the best sangria I've ever had. And I've been trying to duplicate it since I've been home.
Don't forget about the wine.
Oh, I couldn't forget the wine.
And, you know, Susana, you may try to recreate that sangria back home. And, in fact, you could create physically the same sangria back in Riverside, California, but you're not in Spain. That's the thing. Sangria is really sangria when you are in the homeland of Javier Menor and Federico Garcia Barroso. Thanks, Susana, for your call.
All righty. Thank you.
Happy travels.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Susana.
We are really friendly people. I mean, with all my respect to many other places in Spain, we are the friendly people.
I use the phrase that Barcelona is a top model. She's beautiful, but inaccessible. Mm-hmm. And Madrid is the hot girl next door.
No, absolutely.
I can see the travel poster right now. You know, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think Barcelona is a beautiful place. But if you just want to go out and have fun with the gang, Madrid is so accessible.
It's a different feeling. Hmm.
Javier, Federico, thank you very much. You've given us a lot of great ideas about your beautiful city.
Thank you, Bing. Gracias.
Un placer.
Next, we'll see how the streets of Prague turn the golden city of 100 spires into a truly romantic destination. And we'll check in with listeners to hear stories of everyday acts of kindness that have made a big difference in their travels. We're at 877-333-7425. And by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. Barcelona is a hot model.
It's a top model. Madrid is a hot girl next door.
Yeah, I want to take your tour. Okay.